You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This is Good Together, the podcast that inspires you to create change in the world every day. Keep listening for actionable tips and tricks to incorporate eco-friendly practices into your daily life. We've been featured by Apple as the number one podcast for conscious consumers, and we can't wait to welcome you into our community of changemakers. I'm your co-host, Laura Alexander Wittig, co-founder of Brightly.eco, the new platform for conscious consumers. We believe in supporting all creatures, great and small, and our team of experts shows you how to consume and shop responsibly by recommending world-changing products, brands, and more. To read show notes from Good Together and to browse all of the world-changing goodness that we feature, head to brightly.eco/podcast. Also, to help us spread the word about the podcast, tap on this episode and share Good Together with your friends and family. A simple text message helps us grow and create change around the world. This episode is brought to you by Diamond Nexus. They say that diamonds are a girl's best friend, but are they really the planet's? As jewelry lovers ourselves, Lisa and I are excited to recommend a sparkly and ethical option. Diamond Nexus creates gorgeous, lab-created diamond simulates that cost up to 80% less than mined diamonds, so you can wear a guilt-free statement piece the next time you're out on the town. Good Together listeners can get an additional 5% off ethically made, lab-created diamond simulants with code GOOD5 at diamondnexus.com/goodtogether. Clean up on aisle 5. It looks like somebody broke a carton of cage-free, grain-fed, free-range eggs. What the what? What does that even mean? Join us as we journey through the virtual grocery store and stop to shop along the way. Trying to look for the perfect product that's fair trade, vegan, organic, cruelty-free, and more is enough to make even the most patient-conscious consumer go a little bit crazy. Plus, once you've located a coveted sustainable certification on your favorite coffee, how do you even know what it means? Not to worry, because in this episode, Lisa and I will show you how to filter through the noise and make shopping decisions that make you and the planet proud. We get into B Corps, leaping bunnies, and more on today's episode. Hey, Lisa, how's it going?
Hey, Laura, happy Sunday.
Yeah, happy Sunday to you. I'm just really enjoying this beautiful morning we have.
Yeah, and you have a nice new setup. Where are you right now?
Yeah, so we're actually here in LA. Brightly is now here in LA for the next 3 months. We just made public that we got accepted into the Yellow Accelerator program. That's actually run by Snapchat. So Snapchat is excited about what Brightly is doing. They're investing in us. We couldn't be more thrilled. But as some of our listeners know, you and I live in the Bay Area. So I moved down here. You're down here sometimes too, Lisa, for the next 3 months. And we're staying in a Zeus property. And Zeus is one of our new Brightly partners. We're so excited to share more about them, but they essentially create 30-day stays or more. They're almost like a curated Airbnb type experience. Yep. They utilize a ton of ethical and sustainable products in their setup, including Public Goods, who we love. So they were a great partner for us. And I'm literally living in the most beautiful spot in Santa Monica. I'm like within walking distance from Amor Vert, which is one of our favorite ethical brands. We've got coffee, bakeries. Like it's been great.
I was so thrilled when you told me about them. Like, how did you find like the perfect sustainable option for us to live in? It's a dream. I can't wait to get there and try it out for myself. That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, we're really thrilled and can't wait to keep doing all things Brightly.
Cool. All right. Let's, before we get into this week's topic, which we will be talking about different labels and certifications that you as a consumer should be on the lookout for when buying things for your life in general, I wanted to give a shout out to our community. As you guys know, we recently started a Facebook group for our podcast fans. It's called Good Together. So you just search in Facebook, Good Together, Ethical Shopping and Lifestyle, and it should pop up. Request to join, we'll approve you right away. And that's where we discuss all things Brightly. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. And there we discuss things like all things related to the episodes. And there's just like fun, constant, I would say, communication about what should I buy, which brand should I consider, and things like that. And I'll give a shout out to one of our Facebook group members, Carol Norris. She is wondering about organic certification, and we'll cover her question once we get to the organic part of our conversation. I'll give a shout out. So that's what you can do as well. If you have some questions for us, not only can you voice record your question, if you go to brightly.eco/podcast and scroll all the way down, you literally leave us a voice message. And you can also always drop us questions in the Facebook group as well. So this has been really fun to kind of have daily conversations about the podcast topics and sustainability things.
For sure. And I think, you know, to the point you just made, pick whatever way works for you. So you can email us, you can leave that voice message. All of these sort of channels are available to you if you go to brightly.eco/podcast and you'll see them all. But I think, you know, the topic that we are excited to get into today just constantly comes up, whether we are having IRL conversations with our community members or talking to people online. You know, people often ask us what the most important thing they could do every day for the world. We talked about it in a recent episode, which is really just buy less. But when it comes time to buy things, there's so many different certifications and, I don't know, like labels, stickers, things that are like really competing for your attention. And I think today's consumer is very aware of the potential to get brainwashed. So we want to make sure that we provide you with a few quick, easy labels to look for. By no means are we going to cover everything. We've got a great article that goes along with this podcast. We'll leave it in the show notes. I mean, it is the show notes. but we will, if you go to brightly.eco/podcast after this episode, you'll see what we talked about and more. So if we don't cover your favorite certification, don't worry. And of course, there's always the ability for us to go more in depth on even one of these in the future. So if there's one that you have a lot of questions about, again, let us know. And of course, Lisa she's going to get us started by talking about fair trade, because I think that for me, before she gets into it, when I was a newbie to the ethical and sustainable movement, I really knew two things. One was organic, which I'll talk about a little bit later, but two was fair trade. You know, I think fair trade has a great name. It's kind of right there. You can quickly understand what it means in its name, which is rare in certifications. But I also found that like when I went out to shop, I couldn't find fair trade on very many things. So I was like, why is that? You know, like, so yeah, tell me all of the things about fair trade, please.
Don't get me started. I have to time myself. But I mean, and again, let us know if you want to get deeper into things. This is why we're listening to you, and this is why we need your feedback. So sort of briefly, but to explain fair trade, it's actually not as straightforward for people as you might think. So fair trade, basically, okay, let's talk about fair trade. It's mostly associated with products made by hand by artisans, usually around the world. But it started actually with, I would say, coffee and chocolate back in the 70s, I believe.
Yep.
So I think most of the people right now in the U.S. probably think of fair trade. The first thing they actually think, maybe not even artisans, but farmers who produce cocoa, chocolate, and coffee. and tea now, I think. Okay, let's add tea too. But it's actually fair trade, again, is much more than that. There is fair trade garments, there is fair trade ceramics, there's fair trade textiles, a lot of things that are produced by people. And, you know, if in the end of it, most of the things that surround you, even made at the factories, are still made by people. We're still not there where robots are producing things for us.
Not yet,
for better or for worse. But yeah, fair trade is about fair wages first and foremost. I think that's how people mostly get understand it. And but it's much more than just fair wages. So let's talk about the main kind of fair trade principles. Besides the fair wages, fair trade wants to promote and develop transparent and accountable relationships. So like if I'm buying something from an artisan organization or from a factory, I'm not, you know, taking advantage of that, right? It's fair and transparent relationships. I'm helping them build up their capacity. That's another thing. And building capacity, it means that through establishing our business together, I'm helping them grow, right? I'm teaching them how to fulfill their orders for international suppliers, which will help them in their long-term sustainability and growth. I, as a business, have to pay them promptly and fairly. So not only am I paying them above a minimum wages, and it varies, that's the confusing part. Minimum wage, in fair wage varies from region to region, from country by country, but even like within countries, different states, they have different minimum wages. So,
and just to jump in there, is there like a calculation that the fair trade, well, and there's multiple fair trade groups, which you'll probably talk about a little bit. So is there's not necessarily like a standard calculation that's made? Okay.
No, in terms of the fair living wage, no. It's some and that's another thing is that some companies actually they don't necessarily get a certification or a fair trade membership because they think it's almost like not enough. So some companies can go ahead and pay about 20% above minimum wage, others it's about like 5% and things like that. So unfortunately, this is not as straightforward. There's another thing called fair trade premium. That's what usually associated with like coffee and chocolate production. So generally, basically, as consumers, if we're buying fair trade coffee, for example, we have the organization that's producing it, we're paying premium to farmers, right? We are paying above market rate for the cocoa beans or coffee beans, which in some cases is also might not even be beneficial, but I will not get into it because there's a lot of different things and economic studies that have been done around that. But generally, it's a common understanding. It's good to pay fair wage. It's good to pay above minimum wage. And this is one of the main principles of fair trade, but also paying promptly and fairly. So one of the things, and in my previous work, when working with artisans and placing huge orders with artisans and other companies, one of the main things is like you as an organization, you have to pay a deposit for your order so that artisans can actually buy raw materials, which unfortunately, and I think probably most people don't know, most companies, most retailers don't do that. So literally they would place order for like 10,000, 100,000 units of product without paying any deposit. So companies like, you know, Target, Walmart, what have you, in who now are starting to sell artisan made stuff.
This artisan made stuff. And actually, that was the other question I was going to ask you too. Like, I think there's been kind of an explosion of this type of like artisan made look almost that you'll see happening. Like, I remember this is definitely a few years ago, but like when the Moroccan wedding rugs became very trendy. And I think when that originally started, they were actually rugs from Morocco that people were importing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, who knows about what the supply chain was looking like there, but at least they were authentic. Well, then fast forward to, you know, as that trend started to enter more and more into the mainstream, you could just run into Target and get a knockoff way cheaper. And so I think that's a good point bringing up around the you know, Target is in this space. They're probably not slapping fair trade on most of their products, but they may be using the same, it's possible they could be using the same, you know, supply chains, but perhaps not conforming to those issues maybe.
Exactly. Yeah. So if artisan things are trendy now, but whether or not they're fair trade is questionable. And, you know, I can tell you for sure, like I work with companies, clients like Target and stuff and TJ Maxx. They literally, regular retailers won't pay you for 6 months or sometimes up to 6 months until you deliver the product. So if something goes wrong, if they go out of business or they somehow decide not to pay the artisans in the end, they can go out of business, and that's people's livelihoods. And this is why it's so important, you know, to look for fair trade. So another shout out, Cost Plus World Market is not fair trade. You know, they have a lot of stuff, and I think people get confused. They have artisan yes. stuff. It doesn't mean that it's fair trade. So quickly, a few more things about fair trade. And what you should be looking in terms of principles, what they do, supporting safe and empowering working conditions, right? So no slave labor in terms of like you have nice, decent working conditions. You're not sitting somewhere without the light and, you know, without like anything like protecting masks and things like that. So just like regular, safe and empowering working conditions. Another thing, of course, ensuring the rights of children. So this is why we've talked in the previous episode, we'll link back to it. The Valentine's Day, we talked a lot about chocolate industry, right? If you're buying fair trade chocolate, the companies that sell it, they have transparent supply chains, and they can ensure and promise you that there is no child labor involved in this in producing and harvesting this chocolate. And of course, environmental stewardship, that's very important. Yeah. And then lastly, what you kind of touched upon a little bit, respecting cultural identities and basically not stealing, I don't know if it's called intellectual property of the artisans. You can't just steal an artisan design or a design that has been culturally preserved in this country or region and just make a knockoff. You know, that's,
yeah, I feel like it's so common now. Another one that comes to mind is like the African mud cloth. That is like it's a beautiful, it's oftentimes used as a neutral in some of these more like boho chic interiors. And I love it personally, but most of the time, the stuff that you're seeing is non-authentic African mud cloth. One brand I want to give a shout out to is The Citizenry. They make some beautiful, beautiful home goods. And one thing that I love about them is I don't believe they're fair trade necessarily, but they do provide transparency around why they've chosen to not get that certification. One thing that they do is they have a bunch of different collections from artisan groups all around the world. And each one of those pieces looks like something that you could go get knocked off for $20 from TJ Maxx. But you know that if you're going to pay a premium, you're going to be getting a piece that was really, truly made by an artisan, and you're preserving that culture, providing exactly. livelihood for somebody. I think it's great.
Yeah. And they do a lot of storytelling around their artisan partners, the cultural identities behind all of their products for sure. And if the company is not fair trade and, you know, a lot of artisan partners that we work with, they haven't been fair trade certified. The easy thing for you to do if you have your own business or want to source ethical or buy ethical products, ask them. Can you share with me where your products are made? Are there any photos or videos from the factory or in the artisan case, tell me names of the artisans. Just look for some level of transparency at the very minimum, and then ideally fair trade certification. And what it means basically, why you want a certification, it's basically a third party validation that my fair trade claims are actually true. So Globin, my previous company, we have been fair trade from day one, but we went ahead and we became official members, verified members, it's called, of the Fair Trade Federation, just so again, the third party can verify, yes, they are truly fair trade. So let's go just briefly, there is multiple fair trade certifications, which I think is confusing for the consumer, but they are there. So Fair Trade Federation membership, it's not a certification, that's membership. And that's more for companies like apparel and home goods companies. So like if you're talking Moroccan ceramics or Indian textiles, things like that. These companies who sell in the US, they're usually members of the Fair Trade Federation. And what's the difference between membership and certification? Membership is the Fair Trade Federation does not go and check all the different artisan group that this retailer is working with. They simply require, well, not simply, they require a lot of documentation, transparency in how you operate, how you work with artisans, how many artisans you work with, stuff like that. On the other hand, there's, for example, Fair Trade USA and World Fair Trade Certification. These are certification, and it means that, for example, I am a chocolate company, right? Fair Trade Federation, Fair Trade USA will go to my suppliers. Let's say it's in Ghana, cooperative in Ghana, and they will in person verify, you know, that there are safe working conditions, that I, how much I'm paying the farmers and things like that. So certification is, I think, the ultimate standard. But usually certifications is more for companies that I'm working only with one factory. That's why it's easier to verify. If I'm working with different suppliers, like hundreds and thousands, that's very costly. You can't go and verify all of them, if that makes
sense. For sure. And so I think, like, just kind of thinking back to the conversation about fair trade, that is, it's confusing. It's confusing, and we're not saying that it's perfect. I think oftentimes when you talk to people in the industry, it comes up as like one of the biggest pain points, just because there are some great organizations out there, like you mentioned, trying to enforce some kind of standards and going through that whole process. There's other fair trade organizations that may or may not be doing that. And when a brand is featured on the Brightly.eco platform, oftentimes our brands don't have something like a fair trade certification. So we do exactly what you just mentioned around making sure that we've got transparency into how the brand produces. We think through the materials. We actually provide information on how we do our vetting on the site. But I think just to kind of wrap up the fair trade convo, for me, it's one label you can look for when you're out. If it's not there, that doesn't mean you can't buy it. Just means you might have to do a little bit more research. So I think for me, that was like always an easy one, quote unquote, easy one to look for. May or may not have found a ton of things that were fair trade, but at least I knew. And, you know, I think I kind of want to transition to another quick and easy one to look for. And I think this is one that you see when you're at the grocery store all the time. Organic. Like, what does organic mean? And for our, you know, for our purposes, you know, that, I mean, it's by far for me, it's one of the easiest things to find. So when I go into the grocery store and I'm shopping, a lot of times at Trader Joe's, you'll see this where you've got a non-organic option sitting next to an organic option. What does that actually mean? So the USDA is a great resource for understanding organic certification. They've got a really awesome website we'll link to, but they define organic as foods that are grown from, we think about foods. Foods that are grown and processed according to federal guidelines addressing, among many factors, things like soil quality, animal raising practices, pest and weed control, so pesticide use, and then the use of additives. So organic producers are going to be the ones who are using natural substances, you know, and they're going to be really thinking about the impact of the farming that they're doing on the world. So that's something that's really interesting. The other thing I wanted to mention is when we think about the growing of the item, if it's agricultural produce. So produce can actually only be called organic if it's certified to have grown on soil that had no prohibited substances, basically pesticides, applied for 3 years before the harvest. So that's pretty crazy. And this actually applies to farms that might sit. So if let's say a farm sits next to a non-organic farm. Well, if that, you know, farm that's not organic is spraying pesticides and they blow into the organic farm, that actually jeopardizes that certification for the organic farm. I didn't know that. I was actually, when we were moving me from the Bay Area down here to LA, we stopped in the wine country in San Luis Obispo and around that area. And we went to an organic winery, which I know our audience is like so excited about clean wine and organic wine. So we have content coming up around that because it's really interesting to us. But anyway, we stopped at this winery and they told us that. They actually showed us that they their entire farm used what they called biodynamic farming principles, but only a few of their varietals of the wine were actually labeled organic because of some of that, the pesticides blowing and things like that. So it was really interesting to talk with the team there. It was called Beckman Vineyards. We'll link to that in the show notes, but it's a quick drive from LA. And of course, there's a ton of wineries out there who are trying to start to reform their practices. But yeah, so when you're at the grocery store, if you can buy the organic option, we recommend that just because it is better for the planet in terms of pesticide use, antibiotic use, et cetera.
Yeah. Do you want to talk briefly mention, like, if you're buying organic meat, right? It means that these regulations require that animals are raised in living conditions accommodating their natural behaviors, like the ability to graze on pasture fed 100% organic. So whatever the animal is eating is 100% organic feed or forage and not administered antibiotics or hormones. So that's my favorite Portlandia episode about they're ordering chicken in the restaurant.
That's right.
And they're like, is this chicken happy? How are they living? How are they feeling? And are the people that raising chicken, are they nice?
So funny. I know. That is
going to the farm. That's kind of taken to a different level. I mean, you guys can do it, but you're going to be hungry for a while.
And eggs too. So always comes up when I'm looking for eggs. Yeah. So I am not vegan. I do eat eggs. And I, whenever I go to shop for them, there's like 8 different kinds of eggs. There's like organic eggs, there's brown eggs, there's white eggs, there's free range eggs. So if you were to buy organic eggs, yes, that means that the chickens aren't fed 100% organic feed. They don't have antibiotics given to them and they are free range. Well, if you have just free range eggs, then they're most likely not being fed organic feed, but they're hanging out in, they're hanging out not in cages. I do want to mention that just because something says quote unquote free range or whatever they call that, does not necessarily mean that they're like off in this beautiful pasture that we all think of. It literally just means that they're not confined. So anyway,
that's super helpful. Yeah. So like organic is better than just free range. So that's super important. So question from one of our members, Carol Norris. She asked about one of the there are some things that I should always buy organic and not so much others. Does it matter if the food comes from Mexico, South America, or USA? So I think I love doing this research because for me as a consumer, you know, like I'm becoming more aware. But I think, so like, I think in our discussion, like obviously meats, obviously all the produce and then the eggs, I think is super important. I don't know, my friend, she's like, eggs, you have to buy the most expensive eggs you can because it's super important. And I think that's kind of like the point that you explained.
Hey, Laura, I was talking to your mom the other day and she mentioned your birthday was coming up. She's thinking about getting you a piece of jewelry, but she knows it's hard to find something that looks great and is ethically made. And I was like, haven't you been listening to our podcast?
I know how she feels. It's honestly been a challenge for me to reconcile my love of diamonds with the fact that they're not always from sustainable sources. So I was really excited when we started partnering with the creators of a new way to wear gorgeous jewelry without the guilt. Diamond Nexus is the creator of the Nexus Diamond Alternative, a sparkly, ethical option that costs up to 80% less than mined diamonds.
That's amazing. I'm sure your mom will be glad to give you a gift that is kind to the planet and to her wallet. Well, if you're looking for an affordable, ethical piece of jewelry, we've got you covered. Good Together listeners can get an additional 5% off their purchase, even the pieces on sale, with code GOOD5 at diamondnexus.com/goodtogether.
The Brightly team is usually based in the beautiful Bay Area, but when we found out that we got into the Yellow Accelerator program, thanks for believing in us, Snapchat, we are on the hunt for a new place to live for a few months in sunny LA. If there's one thing we love to do on Good Together, it's researching ethical and sustainable options, and Lisa and I were excited to learn more about and partner up with Zeus Living.
Zeus provides beautiful homes for 30-day stays or more in the best locations, including LA, San Francisco, Seattle, DC, New York, Boston, and more. Plus, they stock every unit with toiletries from one of our favorite Brightly recommended brands, Public Goods. Zeus also works with local artisans to furnish their units when possible, and honestly, staying in an Instagrammable space that takes care of everything for us couldn't have come at a better time as we work to scale up Brightly. Hassle-free setup, ethical amenities, and a mission to change the way you stay long-term around the United States makes Zeus a fabulous partner for us at Good Together. To learn more, visit ZeusLiving.com.
What do you think about in terms of, does it matter if it's made in the US, Mexico, US, or somewhere else?
Yeah, so I think we want to be really careful about not villainizing a country just because we don't live in that country. I think we are in that time, unfortunately, right now in the States, where more and more people are becoming, I think, afraid of stuff that's not existing out of the US, which is unfortunate. Well, just depending on whatever country you're buying things from, I mean, if they've got that organic label on them coming through, I mean, that is an organic label. Like, in order to sell something as organic in the United States, it has to go through the USDA standards. So doesn't matter where it's coming from if it's got that organic label. She might have been asking also about, like, where it really, environmentally, that's right. Like, what really, I guess, bang for your buck. Like, if you can't afford to buy all things organic, what should you? And I think you just mentioned that, right? Like, food, anything that you eat a lot of. So I said I eat a lot of eggs. So I'm going to go ahead and buy that. But maybe if I'm not necessarily a consumer of something every day and I can't afford to buy everything organic, then I'll do something else.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and the other thing I wanted to mention too, before we kind of go off the organic train, is GOTS. So GOTS is the certification that is available to clothing. So that is talking about organic cotton, any type of textile that is made from at least 70% certified organic natural fibers. And so there's a lot of debate on whether or not cotton is good for the environment, even organic cotton, just because it's a very water intensive crop. Again, we like to think about, like, at Brightly, there are just so many levels to this conversation. And so we like to give you as much information as we can, provide some guidance. We're never going to take a huge hard line on areas where we think that there's still more or more to come on research or on personal choice. But yes, GOTS is something that's really interesting. You know, again, like we said, 70% or certified organic natural fibers. The textiles that are used also have to meet environmental standards, similar to what we just talked about with food. And there's actually a lot of different certification bodies globally that can award the GOTS certification, but they all use the same standards. So when you're looking for, particularly this comes up a lot when people are new parents and they're looking for baby clothing and are really concerned about exposing babies to chemicals. Definitely look for GOTS when you think about clothing. And you know, you and I talk about fast fashion and fashion a lot on Brightly. And you know, obviously, again, buy less fashion if you can, because that's like the primary driver.
Listen to the previous episode.
Yes, we have a lot of episodes and content about fashion. So first of all, buy less fashion. But and when you do buy it, buy secondhand or thrifted. But if you're going to buy something new, you know, make sure that you're going to wear it for a long time. And then once you kind of go through that thought process, then you can kind of start getting nerdy with the textiles and figuring out, like, you know, is there a way for me to purchase maybe organic cotton over non-organic cotton? And what does that mean for my budget? What does that mean for whether or not I like this piece? So hopefully as consumers, we can keep pushing on that. Yeah. So I'm kind of thinking through, you know, as we're walking down the grocery aisle, what does it mean? You know, what other labels can people look for when they're shopping?
Yeah. So Rainforest Alliance, I know you mentioned that to me. And I think when I was looking for flowers too, I don't know. Rainforest yes. Alliance is flowers, farmers, coffee. Also coffee, tea, right?
Yep.
So do you want to chat a bit more about that?
Yeah. So the Rainforest Alliance label is relating to destruction of the rainforest and destruction of habitats in those areas. So when you purchase a product that has that label, it means that it was grown in conditions that are not negatively impacting the rainforest. So I also saw that on flowers. That's one you can look for. It oftentimes is on coffee. Other labels you can find on coffee are equal exchange, fair trade, like we talked about earlier. And then another label I want to throw in there is FSC. So FSC certification.
Paper, right?
Yes. Yeah, so this is kind of like the, I want to say almost like the American version of Rainforest Alliance, since we don't really have the rainforest here, but we have lots of forests in North America. So there's a lot of, you know, like I said, we actually source a lot of our paper products from forests in Canada. So it's North America, it's not the US. And unfortunately, a lot of forests are being cut down to supply things like toilet paper, paper towels, all of these things. So when you're going to buy those paper products, look for that FSC certification. I shop at Costco, and Costco's brand is FSC certified, or one of the brands that they carry is FSC certified. So we try and buy that one. Again, none of these labels or certifications are perfect, but you can feel good when you're buying them that there was some level of oversight put in there.
Yeah. So another one, I just did like unboxing of my recent Grove delivery in our Facebook group. And actually, I wanted to test out their paper products, and their paper products are made from bamboo. And right on the packaging, and we have another episode coming about bamboo textiles in this case, but bamboo is a much, much better alternative to cutting trees, because it I think it like grows 30 times faster. Or something like it takes like two or three, a few months actually to grow. Instead of trees, it takes, obviously, you know how long it takes for trees to grow. So ideally, if you have to buy paper products, try to buying bamboo products. And Grove has, and I think there's other brands that have are starting to make paper products from bamboo. So definitely be on the lookout for that. It's not a certification per se, but it's a material, a more sustainable and
absolutely
friendly material.
And you know, one of the things I want to mention too is, we, as with all of these episodes, we're throwing a lot of information at you.
Yeah.
You don't have to memorize this, but one thing that'll happen that is, I promise you it'll happen the next time you go to the store after listening to this, is you will be browsing and your eye will catch one of these labels. And you'll probably remember, hopefully, a little bit about what we talked about. But even so, even if you don't, if you just remember like the fact that we mentioned one of these labels, it's probably going to prompt you to think a little bit more. I hope you pull up your phone and Google it. And you know, just again, have this curious mind, go through and think a little bit more when you're shopping. And I think you don't have to go crazy. Like, don't feel like you've got to go in there and know everything about all these things, but just be curious, just start to pay a little bit of attention.
Exactly. It's just about slowing down when you're making this decision to think twice. That's it. You know, that's where you start. Next one, you want to talk about, since we're going down the aisle in your store, let's talk about the good for the air for animals. I know we've talked recently a lot in the, actually again now, Facebook group and our Instagram about clean beauty and stuff. So good for animals. It's not just about beauty products, right, Laura?
Yep. Not just about beauty products. So the two certifications to look for, if you care deeply about animal welfare, one is the Cruelty-Free International's Leaping Bunny. Bunny, like bunny rabbit certification. And the other is Certified Vegan. So Leaping Bunny is a relatively new certification on the market that is now being recognized as the globally recognizable gold standard for, you know, beauty products, personal care, et cetera. This mostly means that there is no animal testing on that product. And I don't want to go too deep into this because it's actually really, really disheartening. But a lot of the products that go on your body have been tested on animals, whether it's beagles or monkeys or, I mean, it's just, it's horrifying, to be completely honest. And so, if you want to make sure that you are not supporting that nasty industry, you can look for Leaping Bunny on your beauty products.
And I want to give them a shout out for their marketing. It's super cute, you know, Leaping Bunny. It's great, great branding, you guys.
Yep. And, you know, rabbits are also used in this testing process. And I imagine that's why they went with that logo. So look for Leaping Bunny. Another one is Certified Vegan. So similar in thinking through that the products weren't tested on animals, but this also goes a step further and says the product actually, it contains no animal products or byproducts. So there's a lot of things that go into, ingredients that go into products that are animal byproducts that you would not even think of. So, you know, the Certified Vegan label is a really great cue for people who are vegans to make sure that they are, you know, 100% there with that.
Got it. Awesome. All right. Well, and also one more thing, we have just like two certifications left. It's by no means, we're not covering all certifications today, but think about, with all of these things and whatever we're discussing on the podcast and our community, you will never probably find a product that has all the certification on them, right? On one product. So you, again, with everything that we say, think about what is the most important thing for you so you don't get overwhelmed. It's like, I have to protect animals, the environment, the workers and everything. So whenever you are going through your kind of sustainability journey, think about what's the most important thing for you and start there. Just kind of not to get as overwhelmed with all of this information.
All of the info we talk about, if you know, nothing's perfect, nothing's going to have all those things. Shop with your values. You'll be good.
Exactly. So yeah, one last thing, it's certification kind of I wanted to mention is slightly different from all of the ones that we've talked about, but probably I think it's pretty, has a pretty good presence, both in the stores, and it doesn't even have to be actually, it's not a physical product that you buy. It can be even companies that provide services, just regular businesses, media companies can have a certification. And what I'm talking about is called B Corp.
Great. I'm so glad you're talking about this one. B Corp is just comes up all the time. Like, so what does that mean, Lisa? What is a B Corp?
So B Corp is more about, as I like to plainly explain, it's more about how you operate internally as a company, right? So for example, Fair Trade or Leaping Bunny, it's kind of like how you source products, how you treat animals, how you treat the environment. B Corp is also a bit about that, but it's more about internal principles and standards of the company. The company that is a B Corp must meet high standards of performance, transparency, and accountability as set by the nonprofit B Lab. So it's a nonprofit company that has the certification. What it includes, you have to meet a certain score on the B impact assessment. So you can be a B Corp certified company, but there's different scores that you have. So the higher the score, the better the company ultimately.
Yes.
And the impact assessment measures a company impact on its workers, community, and environment. So for example, I have looked into B Corp before, and for example, questions that B Corp assessment is asking is, do you have any women in leadership position? Do you have women, the company doesn't have women in the board of directors, advisors, investors?
Wow.
So it's very, very specific. Or for example, does your company recycle? Literally. Does
really?
Your company, No, it's very, very specific. Does your company provide or encourage commuting benefits? Right? So instead of driving. So it's very, very specific and granular. So that's what I'm saying. You know, you can have there is a minimum impact assessment score for you to be certified, but it varies a lot from like 70 to 100, if not like 50 to 100.
This is really interesting, Lisa. So basically what you're saying is, you know, obviously a product goes through all these types of iterations as it's being sourced, but at the end of the day, there's someone who sells it. There's someone who puts their name on it and puts their name behind it. And, you know, you could think about a world where all the resource and everything is put towards the end product, and then the employees are kind of left out to dry in terms of fair wages and you know, a great working environment. So this is a really interesting thing that I personally hadn't really thought of as much.
Yeah, no, I have thought about it a lot, especially recently. It's different. It's different, but I think it's important. So let me give you a few examples of the biggest big corporations that you guys know. Of course, yeah. Patagonia. Of course, Ben & Jerry's, that I've been eating their ice cream a lot recently. seventh generation, the cleaning one method, Eileen Fisher, the fashion company, and yeah. as big as companies as Danone, it's probably more well known in Europe.
Danone, the yogurt.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Really, I didn't know they were B Corp.
Yep. Hmm. Yep. Yep. My favorite person in the world, Muhammad Yunus, when he wrote his business about social business, he actually mentions Danone. So they do have a lot of good initiatives internally. And again, yeah, it just tells you that the company, it's a very strict assessment, as you can tell from the questions I mentioned. It does tell you a lot about the company if it's B Corp. Athleta is another one, and Natura. And there is many ones, and you can find them all of on the website. Of course, we'll link to it. So you can literally just search for your favorite brand, and you can easily tell if they're B Corp or not. So
one thing I wanted to hop in with just really quickly, one thing that's interesting about Athleta that you just talked about is, so they were actually acquired by Gap. And yeah. I'm not sure what, I know very little about what actually went down there. One thing that I think is really cool is Gap obviously is not a B Corp. And they made the financial decision to acquire Athleta, probably because Athleta was doing really well. But I would love to see if, you know, as smaller companies start to get acquired by these bigger names, what is going to be that downstream impact? Like, are the bigger names going to feel pressure to become B Corp because of this? Like, TBD, but yeah. That could be a really interesting side effect.
Yeah, I mean, there are good examples and bad examples, I think, of the acquisitions, and a lot of, like, there's so many examples of small brands being acquired by bigger brands, and everyone usually, at least publicly, likes to say, we're still committed to our principles, we're still fair trade or B Corp, but whether or not it's true, it's a question. So one example, for example, Etsy. Etsy used to be a B Corp, but when it went public, it stopped being a B Corp.
Yeah, so actually, We Brightly is a private company, but we are, you know, actively taking investors. We're kind of building that muscle up, and we are not a B Corp yet. I wanted to address that. So we do have it in our plans, but we're trying to see, you know, how best to go about it. And unfortunately, a lot of times we've heard from other folks that we know that have businesses in the social space is B Corp certification can sometimes be a turnoff to certain kind of investors. So obviously the types of investors that don't like that, we don't necessarily want to be associated with. But I think at the end of the day, it also ends up being another level of paperwork that companies have to go through.
So,
I think, like we said, this is a really interesting space to be in right now. I think places like B Corp are trying to make it easier for companies to, at least from an administration point, become B Corp. So yeah, fascinating stuff. I mean, we could talk about that all day. We should probably do an episode about B Corp.
Yeah,
no. I think that'd be great.
One last thing is confusion with B Corp. So there is B Corp, right, which is certified by a nonprofit company, but there is Benefit Corporation, which is a legal status and which is separate. It's completely separate. Benefit Corporation is not a certification, and it's available only in certain states which have passed Benefit Corporation legislation. To become a benefit corporation, a company must incorporate as one in one of the states where it is available. But you don't have to be B Corp certified. So they're separate. They're completely separate. One is legal, one is certification. So that's an important thing to note. Are we done yet for today? What do you think?
We can talk
about 20 more certifications.
I know we could. I mean, I think there's a few other ones that we wanted to give a shout out to, but probably in the interest of time, we should either do a part two on this or, I, of course, each one of these have the opportunity to be their own episode. And so we're in the process of, planning out the rest of the year. We would love to hear your input. As an audience member, what you're interested in hearing. Of course, we have a thought process there where we're already excited about upcoming episodes. But if there's something that we didn't quite scratch the surface on here, please let us know in all of the channels like we mentioned. Go to brightly.eco/podcast and pick whatever way you want to get in contact with us. But it's such an interesting space right now. We hope that like our walk down the digital aisle, you know, clean up on aisle five. Mm-hmm. Don't use a nasty cleaner, you know, use organic cleaner on aisle five. We hope that was relevant for you.
Yeah. And please let us know if you're listening, or if you're listening with your friends, or hopefully enjoying the podcast and the recent episodes. Please tell your friend, or maybe text your favorite, friends group on WhatsApp on your messages, and share the episode link on the podcast link. This is how we grow, and this is how we make a difference. So we think the future is brightly, and we thank you for being part of this movement.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the convo, Lisa.
Yeah,
it was great.
Talk to you later, Laura.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of Good Together. As always, you can get show notes and explore lots more content related to all things eco-friendly living by checking out brightly.eco/podcast. And we're now live on YouTube. Just search for Good Together Podcast to get the video recording of this episode and more. While you're visiting, don't forget to join in on the conversation by leaving us a question through voicemail or giving us a follow on Instagram, Facebook, and all of the social channels. Our username is brightly.eco. Finally, we want to leave you with a reminder. Every day is a chance for you to create change, and you're already covered for today since you joined us here on the podcast. Stay kind and live brightly.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.